and my best friends will sit in the living room for 7 hours, all yell out an NFL player and somebody yell out what college he went to. 7 hours, that's all we do. I'm like, Brady Quinn. And somebody's like, yes!
Jeremy White.
Ryan Leaf.
Let's go!
And Joe DiBiase.
Eric Decker.
Let's go!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey everybody, gang's all here.
The gang is all here.
1 week before training camp, well, like 9 days. We're all back. First time we've all been here since what? It's a while, right?
Josh was off before I was off.
Yep. Owen was out for a little bit there, right? Like, you're here, I'm here, we're all here.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks. At least, was it before all the Sabres offseason stuff probably happened?
Maybe.
All the Sabres offseason stuff. They signed two players. Sorry.
Yeah. Quickly, if you could, recap everything I missed in the last 11 days.
There you go.
All right. Good.
Over.
I saw.
Wimbledon was fun, you know?
Yeah.
What else? The Blue Jays won like a bunch of games in a row. The Club World Cup happened, I guess. Although, I guess I didn't watch any of it.
No.
Then nothing happened with the Bills, really, which is good, right?
Like that's good.
This is probably the time of year where the only thing that could happen with a team would be, the Chargers are maybe going through this right now. Najee Harris has an eye injury from a fireworks accident.
Yeah, I saw
that. That's the kind of news you might hear from your football team. Harris, I guess, is going to be okay. I guess there's not like a lot of details on it, but should be ready for the start of the year.
Eye patch will get a question, you know, like, hey, something happened there?
Yeah.
Especially right after July 4th. So, okay.
Yeah.
Good. That happened. What else? I had a dynasty fantasy draft while I was out. So I don't know if that means what that means to you, but did that.
A rookie draft or?
Yeah, a rookie draft.
Okay,
yes.
Not like a restart, like a startup.
Rookie and veterans, you know, free agents, blah, blah, blah. So
okay.
The Quinshon Judkins news has hit that league pretty, like, whoa. Okay.
Where did you pick in that one? High?
I picked very high. I picked 2 and 6, and I'll trade it up back into the first for Luther Burden because I'm obsessed with wide receivers. I'm the same guys as when I left.
Yeah.
You know? What did I do? I went into that draft, that dynasty draft, needing running backs. What did I come out with, Joe? Travis Hunter and Luther Burden.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Am I going to change my stripes now? No, thanks.
Yep. I got my Scott Fishbowl draft that is currently going right now. Actually, I am on the clock, but the draft is paused until 8 a.m.
Oh, good.
So I could make the pick whenever I want, but my clock doesn't start until 8.
Okay.
Because it stops overnight. So at some point I'll make that pick. Michael Penix is the top-ranked player on the board right now.
Have a good time with that.
Yeah.
I started watching the quarterback series. I think I'm going to keep on that for a little while.
Okay.
What else happened? I've got some stuff. I was on vacation with my family. So my wife's family, our family, there's a big yearly, week-long, everybody goes to a lake and does the thing, which is amazing. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Golfed a little bit. I saw a Chinook helicopter. Maybe you saw. I posted the video of that. The
video was crazy.
That was pretty wild.
I didn't know. Okay, so I didn't know where you were. That was the day. So Nate was in one day last week on Tuesday, and we were sitting here in the break, and that video popped up on my phone, and I didn't know the context of that course is next to an airbase?
A small airport.
Small airport.
Yeah, it's just a small airport in Penn Yan.
Okay.
And we heard this sound, and we come across, you know, we come over the hill on the 12th hole, the 12th green, and sure enough, there's a two-rotor military Chinook just...
Yeah.
Doing passes, and you can wave to a guy in the back. So that was a highlight. That was cool.
Yeah, because on the video, you can't tell right away that there is an airport there, and it's just, is this an emergency landing?
Right,
or
right.
Why is there a military-style helicopter that is landing, like, in the fairway?
Yeah.
But it didn't actually land in the fairway. But that's a pretty unique experience, I would say.
Yeah, not too far from the green complex where we were. And funny thing happened after tweeting it out. I pointed out that I double bogeyed the two holes where we saw the helicopter, and someone said we should call double bogeys Chinooks.
Call double bogeys Chinooks.
Because that's the kind of helicopter, I guess, that it was. Mm-hmm. And
right.
Then
and it's got the double.
Two rotors.
Two rotors.
And what do two rotors look like? Two pluses.
Okay.
Put me down for a Chinook.
Okay.
I think it's kind of good.
Yeah.
I do have other golf content to get to from that. That day of golf, I experienced one of the wildest things I've ever seen on a golf course. So We'll get caught up on that.
More than the helicopter? Wilder than the helicopter?
Equally memorable.
Didn't really answer the question, but he kind of answered the question. Okay. All right, yep. I'm excited.
So, yeah, that's what's up. Happy to be back.
It's a major week, by the way. You're back just in time for a major week.
That's right. I watched a lot of the Scottish Open yesterday, which featured brown grass.
Yes.
Brown fairways.
Yes.
Isn't it beautiful? Look at this beautiful place. not just, you know, your usual European British Open style golf, but brown.
Is it weird that it's brown more there when it feels like it rains more often?
I don't know how it works.
Because it does. It rains more in Scotland. Like, undoubtedly, it rains more there than it does here, and yet their grass, shouldn't their grass be greener then? Or no?
Yeah.
Because they don't get we got the Kentucky bluegrass and the Bermuda, whatever.
Bent grass, all that, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else are we catching up on? Everyone saw Nate's feet on Twitter.
Imagine somebody who has no idea what we're talking about right now. If you have not seen Nate's feet on Twitter, it is must-see.
Yeah.
Must see. You can't believe it's real.
No, it's crazy.
You can't believe it's real. It's like he lathered them in like the what's the old man sunscreen? The
zinc?
Zinc.
Yeah.
Like he just dumped his feet in a bucket of zinc sunscreen before he walked out onto the turf to hit a golf ball.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Amazing.
We also got new lights in here.
Yeah, this is your first time in here with the lights.
My first time in here with the new lights and the camera that looks a little more directly, so
yep.
You know, when we're making these awesome points, people can stare. I can look directly into people's souls if that's what they want. So, yeah, you know, is this angle better for us? Probably. I'm good with it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's right on as opposed to, you know, off to the side a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, and so just put up a picture of Nate's feet on the YouTube channel if you want
to.
So this is where the YouTube feed, if you're, you know, following us on the stream, like and subscribe and join us and watch us there. You can get the visual of Nate's feet on the show, and you might think you don't want that, and that's all right if you don't. So anyway, yeah, it was a great time away, great week away. I've been away for a while, been with family for a while. My family visited, then we went to away with my wife's family, so it's been nuts.
Was it also blisteringly hot at the lake you were at?
It was
miserably hot.
Yeah, it was. It was 90. It was 90 degrees. You know, we were very close. So, you know, if you want to just jump in the water, you could do that.
You had the lake.
We had the lake right there.
If you're going to have a week like that, I mean, be at a body of water. Because here it was like, when you don't have that relief, it's just you feel like you are drowning from the humidity and being lit on fire simultaneously from how hot it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was brutal the last couple of days. And I think today maybe is supposed to be a little that, or tomorrow maybe.
Yeah.
There's another hot day coming.
It's starting to feel like training camp. Like, that's what that feels like.
Yes.
A lot of times we'll do the feels like football conversation where you walk outside, there's a crisp kind of chill in the air, and it feels like football. Training camp is blisteringly hot, where, you know, for the players on the field, I'd imagine it's very hot. Of course, they take precautions and all that, but if you're there, you don't want to sit on the bleachers with your bare skin kind of heat. That's what you get when you go to Fisher. Or if you're a member of the media, you're standing on the track, and it feels like the sun is beating you so hard that the soles of your sneakers will melt into the track. So it feels like training camp, and we're getting closer. I know the rookies are reporting in Detroit and L.A. for the Chargers. We've got the situation with the second-round picks. Nobody signed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's a league-wide story that's just kind of quiet. You know, hey, none of the second-round picks signed. Okay.
It maybe can be related to the collusion story from the last week. I guess that might be the story you missed over the week, which is that owners colluded to keep guaranteed money down, and here are second-round rookies is a collective basically saying we're not signing for anything but the fully guaranteed amount, which is what the only two second-round rookies that have signed so far signed for fully guaranteed contracts.
Yep.
So are the rest going to hold firm on that? I mean, the first guy that got tested on that, Trey Harris in L.A., is not at Chargers training camp. So, like, honestly, it's not as big a deal because he plays an important of a role, but like James Cook said he's going to be at training camp. There's really no holdout coming from him. TJ Sanders might not be there next week for the Bills. Like if this rookie's not going, and we'll see if anybody else reports before the Bills do and has that tested. But right now, I feel like Sanders won't be there. Be my guess right now. I mean, it kind of sounds like none of the second round rookies are going to be at their team's training camps.
Well, it's
I don't even know if they can be if they're not signed. Maybe is that the thing where they can be, but even if they're not signed, but there's like injury risk to that.
Yeah.
So okay, so he could be there, but I just feel like if he's not signed, then why take the risk?
So a couple things on this. I did see the collusion story about the guaranteed money, and I know that Pablo Torre and Mike Florio have been all over this document about it. It gets pretty legalese and in the weeds, and if you're a big football fan, maybe you do care, maybe you don't care about this kind of thing. The second round pick part of it, I know that Trey Harris is the first one to not show up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, collusion's a funny thing when you have a union where they're all trying to do the same thing for each other, mm-hmm. and owners that are competing against that union try to do all the same things for each other. The idea that mm-hmm. owners would want to keep guaranteed money down is not the least bit shocking, because when they go to negotiations for a new CBA, they all get together and make a plan together. Mm-hmm. So to me, you know, collusion between competing businesses is one thing for, you know, these airlines to rig prices on flights or something like that. In this case, you've got all these NFL teams that are thought to be competitors, but they are in the same league. They are not really competitors. They are on the same team. They are raising money together. They are splitting money from television networks, and that money is going bonkers. So the idea that they're colluding, to me, does make sense. Mm-hmm. With Trey Harris, in his case, the only reason he's the story is because that's the first team that went to camp. There are, what, 20 picks between him and the next guy that's supposed to sign? The first two picks of the second round, that's Carson Schwesinger and Jaden Higgins, got fully guaranteed deals. The next guy up is Nick Emmanuari mm-hmm. of Seattle.
Safety.
He got drafted by the Seahawks. He'd be the next one up. For Harris to either report or do anything would basically be jumping over 20 players in the timeline of, hey, what's going to happen here? Who's going to break first? So when we get to next week, and training camps start to open up in earnest with rookies, I bet we don't see 21 guys all sitting out. That's just my bet. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to be right or not, but somebody here is going to break, right, in the second round, whether mm-hmm. it's a team or if it's a player. You know, you see the usual, all the GMs want to fight this other GM because he gave his player a contract, it's fair.
Yeah.
Like they're mad at him. Okay. Congratulations.
Well, that was, I mean, not maybe that this was fair, but that was part of the collusion part of it, was there were text messages between a bunch of different owners. I think the Chargers owner and the Cardinals owner were the ones that I saw made the rounds the most. And it was basically, I mean, the bad part of those texts, I think, was like, hey, if you set up Kyler's contract this way, and they named these quarterbacks, which is why I think they could actually take legal action against the teams if they really wanted to. But it was, hey, if you do this with Kyler, then I'll be able to do this with Justin Herbert next year. But I think what preceded it all was them both texting with each other about, like, are you kidding me, Cleveland? Like, what did you give Deshaun Watson? That calling the owner an idiot and, you know, being very upset with the Browns, basically, that you gave Deshaun Watson that contract, which I think is the source of all of this, by the way.
Right.
I think you're probably right. Like, 21 guys sitting out. Maybe we have a few, but, you know, I don't know who will want to. It depends. One guy's going to have to want to be that first through and, you know, do they care enough? I mean, I think what might make it different with them, if they see their, you know, their rookie counterparts as like a stronghold or something as compared to your teammates, but you really don't know your teammates yet. And that might make it a little different. Like, James Cook will report to training camp in part, he said he wants his money, he doesn't want to get fined, but in part because he's a part of the culture now, right? And he knows all the guys and he's been close to the Super Bowl with them, and they, you know, he might feel ingrained in everything that's happening with the Bills and feel like he's a part of it. Whereas a rookie that's only done what? Been to rookie minicamp mm-hmm. so far in OTAs. He might feel more inclined to sit out if everybody else is, because he might not feel as ingrained in all that culture and that in that team atmosphere that, you know, somebody that's played there for 3 years might.
There's also the possibility that, you know, so Emin Wari is really the next one up. They offer him a contract that's not fully guaranteed, but mostly guaranteed, and maybe it's missing two small pieces. He's like, fine, I'll sign it. Let's go to the camp. And now you're on to Judkins, by the way, who's in the news and has not yet signed.
They might want to skip over that one.
That situation might be tough. The Texans also have another guy in the second round. So to have signed a fully guaranteed second round pick, they have another guy later. I don't know if they're going to do that there. So is it an interesting story? I think it is for the people that like to really get in the weeds on the league and the legalities and all that stuff. But
it's only really an interesting story for everybody if it graduates to such an extreme level, which is that they are all sitting out.
Right, the entire second round. I saw Chris Long said this, and he's probably right. He said on his Greenlight podcast, he said, basically, this is big news only because football's not happening yet. And the moment everybody gets to camp, and he wasn't trying to say that like to bury it, just that the moment everybody gets to camp, this story is going to go get buried, and we're going to watch guys catching footballs and watch guys throwing footballs, and we're all going to be in football mode, and that's that. And you might have a month or two to find out what's happening with this part of it, the collusion part of it, the guaranteed money part of it, and then it's, you know, Thursday night, and off we go. Thursday night football. We are 8 weeks away, less than 8 weeks away now from the start of the season, so... 8 weeks from yesterday is the Bills Ravens opener.
Real quick to end on this one guy that I feel like will be tested more than anybody on this if the other second round rookies haven't signed by next week. Tyler Shuck went 40th overall, one pick ahead of TJ Sanders, and is he not the betting favorite to start week one next year for the Saints? And if this thing is still going next week, when camp shows up, is he going to be like on the phone with his agent? Like, okay, what are we doing here? Yeah. I'm not going to go. Like, I'm maybe going to start. And if I'm not there for a week, does that put me behind the eight ball? Do they now put, who's the other guy? Spencer Rattler above me now to start? Like, if he might be thinking about starting more than he's thinking about any of the guaranteed money part of it. So that might be the guy that, you know, if nobody has signed in a few days, that guy might sign just because he needs to get rolling. He needs to be throwing footballs at training camp so that he can start for them in week one.
803-0550. I wouldn't expect anyone to have a real, you know, thought or take on all the second round picks are not signed.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, you know, TJ Sanders, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how he makes a difference for the Bills. I'm sure he'll get signed. I'm sure it'll all eventually figure itself out, maybe in the week after rookie's report. It'll be 2 days late for every second-round pick. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But camp is approaching.
Well, if it's 9 days away, then the day before veterans report, right? Mm-hmm. So wouldn't a week from today be when rookies report?
For the Bills, I believe so.
Okay, so a week from today for rookies.
Actually, I think
that's right.
In some cases, you go... Well, there's reporting to St. John Fisher. There's reporting to facilities.
Right.
You know... Whatever. For the Bills and their camp dates, I'll find the very latest on this. Players report – oh, I'm sorry. Rookies report tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for
oh, a week early.
Yep, okay. A week early.
Sweet.
So they're going to be at St. – rookies will be at St. John Fisher tomorrow, just rookies. And that's, you know, your draft class, your UDFAs, that's Max Hairston, that's not Sanders. I guess tomorrow's the day we find out for that.
Nobody's there, though, so...
Media's not there.
Would we even find out, if Sanders is there?
It's a good question.
I feel like we might not. Sal's in Italy, so we know he won't be there.
Sal is in Italy.
We know one media member definitely will not be there unless he is flying from Florence overnight to get to St. John Fisher.
To recap what the entire WGR staff is doing, on the one side, I got Nate's feet tweeted at the world. Uh-huh. And on the other side, Sal tweeted a dinner from Italy that looked to be a bolognese and a glass of red wine, and it made me want to make the trip myself immediately.
Yep.
So I think Sal wins that one.
The picture of Florence with all the red roofs across. Yeah, like that'd be a place to be right now. It's probably very hot there, though.
But. Yeah, that's probably right. But we're here. We're hanging out. We've got a major championship this weekend with the Open Championship, the British Open, whichever you want to call it. I'm not going to be a golf snob on that. I do have a golf question for you later on.
Okay.
It is 9 days from the start of training camp. Rookies report tomorrow, and off we go. You know, that kind of good stuff. The Sabres are Dormant. We'll let you know.
I was just gonna say dormant.
Dormant.
Dormant's the word.
Like a volcano that's dormant. You don't know if it'll ever actually erupt again, but you know it's there.
Yeah, Byram has arbitration in like a couple weeks, so by then maybe we have something that has happened between him and them. I did a podcast yesterday where the guy led me in with, it's been a very active offseason for the Sabres. I'm like, I think that's the reason people might be upset right now. It does not feel like it's been very active. They have signed like two players that might play for the team.
I saw
this year
NHL.com
traded for two more.
Tweeted out, it's been a fascinating offseason for the Buffalo Sabres.
Fascinating.
I wouldn't say that necessarily. But.
Fascinating, active, dormant. Dormant feels like the most accurate, I would say, so far of of those three.
So anyway, home run derby tonight.
Home run derby tonight. Like,
home run derby.
I used to love the home run derby. I'm not even like a huge fan of baseball when I was a kid, but I would always watch the home run derby. And like you just told me that, like I had no idea. I don't know what's the format.
We're doing
clocks and stuff now.
They've done that for a couple of years.
We're doing like round robins or something.
What are they supposed to do? The home run derby has got to be the number one. You're a kid and you liked it event. It's got to be number one.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you're 12.
Adults didn't used to like the home run derby?
I don't know. Maybe, but I bet they liked it more when they were a kid, too.
I think what they're really supposed to do is just everybody hits and whoever hit the most home runs win. None of this, oh, bracket, double round robin, this guy plays this guy, and wait, this guy had the most home runs, but this is the guy who won. I think, didn't we have that last year? The guy who hit the most home runs did not win the home run derby?
Yeah, it happens from time to time.
Like, just line them up, and whoever hits the most home runs wins. Anyone who wants to pitch it to him, get Chris Berman on the mic and let him scream back, 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 back until the ball goes out of play.
Yep.
And there's your derby.
I might go for two rounds, maybe. But yeah, you do get a situation where a guy hits 30 in the first round, and then he's gassed by the time they get to the championship or the final round.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought the home run derby was about the park, too. Like, what the park looks like. Fenway,
yeah.
Wrigley, Baltimore.
I remember it in San Francisco one of those years. Where it was
Are they going to hit it in the water?
In the water, yeah.
There's a lot of cool places where the park is really the star, so you can see where guys can hit it to. And tonight it's Atlanta, and I got to be honest, I don't know that park that well. I'm not that worried about that park. I know it's kind of new. Does it have any sort of characteristic like Wrigley or Camden where Ken Griffey Jr. hits the warehouse? Probably not. So, you know, okay. Will I pop that on? Yes, I will. But home run derby memories for me. The other thing I think about is, and we'll have to see if they still do this, that they still have approximately 60 fifth graders running around trying to catch the ball in the air. Because that's always fun.
That was cool.
Which kid is going to take a dive?
Yep.
Which kid's going to actually come up with the catch? That's all tonight.
I hope they have that. I hope they have the fifth graders running around. I'm looking at a picture of Truist Park right now in Atlanta, and there's no like... There's no distinguishing feature that I would say they're hitting into tonight. It's just the
Atlanta
scoreboard and some buildings,
very
basically.
803-0550 if you want to join us. 1-888-550-2550. I've got a thought on a Bills Twitter poll for you about their offseason. Now that we are the week before camp, feels like if you want to, we can kind of look back on their offseason. Did they have a good one? Did they have a great one? Where do Bills fans kind of land? I mean, we all feel pretty good about the team. But how about the offseason? I'll put a Twitter poll up. I'll ask you what you think about that. I've got a golf question. I've got a taco question. I've got a great taco question. I watched some of the 3-on-3 league. Have you done that yet?
Wait, like ice cubes?
The basketball big three.
The big three?
Yeah, I watched some of that yesterday.
I remember watching it like 5 years ago when it first started. I don't even think I knew it was still going.
Saw Lance Stevenson yesterday. He's in that.
Oh, I did know it was still going because I did see a video of him a week ago.
Yeah.
You watch that?
I watched some of that.
Was that at the lake?
No, that was once. Okay. That was yesterday. Once. Back home, attempting to clean the house, and I put the big three on. And 6 minutes in, there was a conversation about challenging for who touched the ball when it went out of bounds. And I was like, "See you later." No, I watched a little more than that. So I've got some takeaways to share with you. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. We're all back. It's football time almost. Rookies report tomorrow. And the Bills open camp next week, Wednesday. So with the Hall of Fame game approaching quickly, we are 17 days away, right, from the Hall of Fame game. That's when that thing goes.
Yep.
On the 31st, the last day in July this month. We've got lots to get to. Tyler Dunn scheduled to join us a little bit later today. Also, Ben Gretsch. He is a Substack called Stealing Signals, which is good for fantasy, for gambling, and just for knowing kind of what's in there to find out about these teams in the NFL. His most recent post was about the AFC East, so I reached out and said, like, hey, Ben, let's dig into this. What he called it was unpredictable offenses, plural. And he included something about the Bills that I think people will find interesting. So that's at 9:30. I'll get you that stat from Ben on the Bills. Before we do that, plenty to get to. It's going to be hot out there today. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
It's Yannick Sinner's time to shine at Wimbledon. A show of force to dethrone his rival here.
Wimbledon. I watched that whole match.
Yeah?
It was long.
Chris Fowler on the call there?
Yeah. Like, it was a fight. Like, it was completely even back and forth until there was a point in the fourth set where it's like, okay, Sinner's going to win this thing. Those are going to be the two. They're both in their early 20s. I mean, they're going to do that match 900 times in the next 12 years, right? Yeah,
probably. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Monday. It's July 14th. Bills get to training camp in 9 days, and rookies report tomorrow. So for Bills rookies, they report tomorrow. I put up a Twitter poll about the Bills offseason we can get to. I also have seen there's the NFL 100's going, and
yep,
executives and coaches just have released their top 10 at every position as well now.
Yep, through Jeremy Fowler's piece.
Yeah, Jeremy Fowler has that. So that's new. That's top 10 at every position. Deion Dawkins getting some love. He's on that list. Mm-hmm. Spencer Brown, honorable mention. I'd like to issue a ruling. This is ranking season, right? We know that.
Yes.
It's ranking season.
Yep.
You can see a lot of stuff. I got a rule for everybody. Here's a rule to follow.
Okay.
If Mahomes isn't number one, he has to be number three. What I'm saying is you can't, in your rankings, you can't split Allen and Jackson. And end of rule. That's it. You can't split those two. Because I saw one over the weekend. I'm trying to find which one it was. And the ranking went Lamar,
yep,
Mahomes, Josh. Uh-uh. Not allowed.
It was going to be Josh, Mahomes, Lamar.
Also, not allowed.
Because maybe on that one you could defend it with like, well, Allen has been good in the playoffs and Lamar hasn't.
No.
But
the rule is, are you a rings person or not?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a rings person, we can disagree. You could put Mahomes number one. And if it's not rings, then he can't be number two.
Okay.
You can't split Allen and Jackson. Can't do it.
Yeah.
What's your argument? Oh, I put Jackson number one because he's the best quarterback in football. And then I put Mahomes number two. You know, he hasn't had 2 good years. It's fine. And it's just, I don't care about that. He got some rings. And then I'm going to go to the quarterback that's had much better years the last 2 years. Can't do it. So there's my rule on ranking season. If you split Allen and Jackson,
yeah,
you are not having a good process. I'm just going to say it doesn't hold up. How do you do it? I think Allen's number one. Oh, okay, great. Then who's number two? Is it Lamar? No, it's the guy with rings. Figure it out. Are you a rings person or not?
Yeah. I don't even know what the defense would be.
How would you split them?
Like I said, I could see somebody saying the thing about the playoffs if Jackson and Allen were reversed. I wouldn't agree with that. I don't even know what you would say
right
to the Lamar number one. What would you do with did you see what Warren Sharp did last week? Where he had Mahomes number five.
Good.
On a second tier.
Love it.
But do you know who the four were ahead of him?
Allen.
Yep.
Jackson.
Yep.
Burrow.
No.
Okay.
Burrow was on Mahomes A+ tier. S+, which I guess stood for superstar plus, was
Jaden Daniels
and then Jalen Hurts.
Well, Jaden Daniels, the executives put fifth.
Amongst all quarterbacks?
Yes. And
it was
quickly,
only 1 year, but it was a
pretty
are
you here
year.
Telling me that Warren Sharp put Jalen Hurts ahead of Mahomes?
He did.
Okay, that's a tough one. That's going to be a tough one.
He put him S+ was Allen, Jackson, Hurts, and Daniels.
Okay. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
These rankings, it's whatever. It's fun. But,
yes.
Man, I don't know how you split the two. And for the executives, the coaches, and the scouts, like them ranking their top 10 quarterbacks, they put Mahomes number one. Like, all right, fine. Your executives, your coaches, your scouts, you want to do that. Fowler writes, Mahomes' grip on the top spot is loosening slightly. I think it's loosening
slightly.
Greatly.
I guess just what? It's, for that person, it's going to be, I need like 3 years between him winning a Super Bowl and not winning it before I'm willing to like take him off the top peg. Or would some people just never do it at all? Like, at some point, you have to do it.
Who won Wimbledon 5 years ago?
If he's 42 and not the best quarterback anymore, you can't all use the most rings.
Let's do it with what you just mentioned, like the Wimbledon winner. Who won Wimbledon 4 years ago and hasn't been that good since?
Well, I mean, like...
You know, like, that's...
Djokovic won 3 years ago, but he lost in the semis pretty easily to Sinner. So, like, would somebody put him... Why you wouldn't put him above Sinner right now in a power rankings. We just saw him...
You would think.
Right, like, we just saw him not win it, and he's older.
Fowler points out Mahomes finished first or second in QBR four straight times. In the last 2 years, he's finished eighth. So, like, it's quite clear what's happened there. I mean, I'm not telling you he can't ever get back there, but anyway.
The last 2 years, I brought up some numbers last week where he was, if I'm remembering, like 24th in yards per attempt, adjusted yards per attempt even, and 23rd in passer rating. I guess QBR is factoring in the rushing, so and he's maybe been better at that the last two seasons, but like in the 20s in yards per attempt and passer rating. Like, and he's number one? He's only number one because of the rings. You wouldn't be telling me he's number one because he's been the best quarterback the last 2 years.
No, not at all.
You're doing it because you feel like you have to because you're bowing at the altar of he's one. That's it.
Yeah, hopefully that we stop bowing there soon.
And then that person should be putting Jalen Hurts above. Like, what, how are we doing it? Are we just doing it on rings? Are we just counting? Because Jalen Hurts then's better than Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Go ahead, tell me that's true. Hurts has been better statistically the last 2 years than Mahomes has.
I think most people would look at Hurts and say there's a lot of the ecosystem is incredible there. You know, he doesn't.
That's right.
He doesn't get, and he probably. I'm not saying he should. He doesn't get the Purdy Tua treatment of everybody around him is great. That's why he's great.
Mm.
But there's one of the best offensive lines. They have incredible weapons. It's all there around him. I think he's a heck of a player. And he's another one that in the playoffs has come up and been great. I mean, he's played in two Super Bowls and been incredible in those two games. So, you know, for what it's worth. 803-0550. Anyway, I put a Twitter poll up about the Bills offseason. Next week, the Bills start training camp. Let's check in. How good was their offseason? Do you think they had a good offseason? And I put up four options on the Twitter poll. I thought about these answers yesterday, and if someone asks me to really explain them, I don't know that I can differentiate between probably and sure. But your options are, do you think the Bills had a good offseason? Hell yeah, probably, sure, or no.
I think I could try to explain the difference because I voted for sure.
Okay, because I voted for probably.
Okay, you voted for probably, yes. I voted for sure.
I think they probably had a good offseason.
If someone asks, okay, do you think the Bills had a good offseason? And my response is, probably. That sounds like, okay, that went pretty good.
Yeah, they probably had a good offseason. And
whereas,
I think they probably did.
When I'm voting, it might depend on how you're emphasizing it, your tone is. But it's, okay, did you think the Bills had a good offseason? And I go, sure.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah, they had a good offseason. That's about how I would say sure. Like, sure, they had a good offseason. There's a gap there.
There is
between,
probably. I'm not sure what the gap is, but there is a gap there.
There is a gap.
I think the answer is probably. They probably had a good offseason. I certainly couldn't get to hell yeah because like there's a lot of room left for that.
Yeah.
And maybe we look back and they did have one that good. But right now, how good you feel about it, they probably had a good offseason. And a lot of that's buoyed by the fact that they're, you know, consistently good to great.
That's right.
And, you know.
My holdup would be that it's not necessarily their fault, but the one thing I think they needed to do more than anything this offseason was to go land a star player.
Blue chip talent.
A blue chip talent, a whale at any position, really. And again, partially not their fault. Those guys didn't get moved. They didn't do it.
No, so what happens is they have to find one.
So you did the best you could.
Yeah,
but
you have to find one, and maybe they found one somewhere along the way, and it's just not obvious.
Right, like hell yeah to me, maybe that's where I should be more open to probably, because I think you can't say hell yeah unless they had done Myles Garrett. Or maybe you would consider Metcalf that. Maybe, you know, you would consider TJ Watt that. You know, like, if they had done something like that, I'd be like, hell yeah. That's the Von Miller offseason. They signed Von Miller, and the next day it was like they're winning the Super Bowl. Let's go. The favorites everywhere. That's hell yeah. So I think you should be debating probably and sure. I also wouldn't want to say no. Like, no, I think should probably finish last. Like, they did, everyone seems to like their draft, like, especially the early picks. They definitely needed to add on the defense. They did that. And I think the other reason I don't think you could say no is, like, I wanted to see them get better at wide receiver. Sure, I would have liked to see them do even better than they did, like Terry McLaurin or, you know, Metcalf or something like that, but they definitively got better with Palmer and Moore compared to Cooper and Hollins. Even at that position, which was really the only position on offense they could have got better at, they, I think, got better.
I continue to look at the guys that have left and that are not on teams and think that's one way to say you got better. And this is not exactly timely right now, but I'm seeing on Pro Football Talk that Nyheim Hines says he's ready to go.
I saw workout videos,
and
yeah.
For me, it's another example of, man, they've been searching for veterans and really kind of, I don't want scraping the bottom of the barrel. They traded for Hines, and then he never really did anything other than the two kick returns. But it kind of indicates these things they've looked for, and this offseason was about being, I don't know, it feels like they're a little less desperate for some stuff. Maybe because they had more picks. Maybe it's because they signed a few more free agents to shorter-term deals. And I don't know. Like it just feels like when I talk about Douglas, Cooper, and Vaughn still not on teams, you know, I get like Hines is adjacent to that. But they did a good job of getting younger, if nothing else. And that doesn't mean better, but that means you have the opportunity, if they are good players, that they will be good players for a long time.
Yeah, I'm looking at a list of like the best available free agents, and like – five of the top six are former Bills. They're not all like last year, but Douglas, who we've talked about, Rasul Douglas is available still. Amari Cooper is available still. Then you get to like Gabe Davis is available still, right? Like he hasn't signed anywhere. And then like you go, I gotta go away though. Like Stephon Gilmore is one of these names here. Like really the only top name that is still there that hasn't played for the Bills is Asante Samuel Jr.
Right.
Who is still
out there.
Who is still a free agent, yeah.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. We'll talk with Tyler Dunn. We'll talk with Ben Gretsch, some football chatter along the way. Later in the week, Peter Marlett Jr. of U.S. Pro Soccer to talk about that project where the stadium they were going to build down at Elkin, I forget streets, whatever. It's been scrapped and moving somewhere else.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that, and that's later in the week. Jeremy and Joe, happy Monday. We're back. The whole gang's here. We're under the lights. It's bright in here. I did search for a movie reference that none of you will know because it was from when I was a kid. It's when Dick Tracy put Mumbles under the lights. These are the lights. You're not going to get that reference. It's okay. No. Somebody out there might. Deep reference.
Is this from the Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling movie?
Dick Tracy? No, Dick Tracy was a comic book movie before comic book movies were every movie ever made.
Uh-huh.
You know, like Dick Tracy, Madonna was in it.
Maybe the OG comic book movie?
It's very different. It's very different. Like,
okay. The movie poster looks like a comic book poster.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting. It's like a mob movie.
Yeah, I'm looking at the cast.
Warren Beatty, Madonna, Dustin Hoffman, Al Pacino.
This looks like an interesting movie.
Yeah.
Don't know if it's good.
I don't know if it's good either. I just remember it. I don't know if it's good either.
Okay.
Anyway, we're under the lights. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. A very quick news on the jersey front around the league. We're getting new Chargers third uniforms tomorrow.
Yeah,
I just had that date in my mind for a while. The 15th, they're going to do some new Chargers jerseys. The Buffalo Rumblings report a Bills new helmet coming your way on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that'll be red because of the last year of Highmark Stadium. Let's throw some red helmets there. How they would match,
mm-hmm.
we'll see.
I think it would look weird with the current uniforms and not like a 90s uniform.
Yeah. There's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. The question is, you know, how? Because they do have red in their color, which means you can just do it.
Yeah, that's
it
right.
Somehow.
That's right.
But matching perfectly, you know, that's important. We speak as people that, of course, always match amazingly and perfectly. So anyway, that's the news on uniforms.
Apparently not. You must have missed last week my debacle where I accidentally wore a navy blue belt with black shorts, which everybody was ready to tell me, like, that's a cardinal sin of fashion.
I'm kind of amazed you
cannot do that.
You could even tell. If it's a navy blue belt against black shorts, that it doesn't just look black. That is tough.
Yeah.
Who's telling you it was bad? The chat? Were they seeing your belt?
The chat. Guys I golfed with later in the day. Not the chat.
Okay.
No, I never would have stood up to show.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. 400 votes on that Twitter poll about the Bills offseason. Get some comments on it and some thoughts from you. We're a week out from camp, a little over a week. Rookies report tomorrow. Did the Bills have a good offseason? Let's talk about it. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.